Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the third quarter 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank nine months 2021 results presentation. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. We will start with some key recent developments, then present our results and answer your questions. Starting from the macro level, the full year 2021 GDP growth is expected to exceed 7%, despite the recent pandemic surge, which may have a small impact on the fourth quarter. The tourism season was extended till late October, and the 2021 revenues may be close to 60% of the 2018 mark, while the prospects of 2022 are even better based on early bookings. Industrial production has fully recovered and reached 10% higher than pre-pandemic level in the third quarter. At the same time, foreign direct investments are accelerating and have already topped 10 billion euros in 2021. Greek corporates and banks have tapped the markets with debt and equity issues of 7 billion and 3.6 billion euros respectively. Combined with investments supported by the Resilience and Recovery EU funds, for the next year, we expect strong GDP growth close to 5%, and for the five-year period, 2022-2026, around 3.5%-4% per annum on average. The third quarter of 2021 is an important milestone for the Greek banking system as Eurobank becomes the first Greek bank achieving a single-digit NPE ratio after a 10-year-long crisis. We expect the whole sector to be at single-digit ratio within next year, thus laying the ground for the sovereign investment grade rating. Now, moving into our financial results for the nine months of the year, these are highlighted on slides six to nine. Our net profits in the nine months reached 298 million euros, of which 103 million in the third quarter. Corporate provision income was up by 4.1% on a year-on-year basis, driven by strong fees growth. In the same period, the loan loss provisions are down by 25%, and as a result, the core operating profit is up by 61%. Our international operations continued a strong performance with net profits of 111 million euros in the nine months of the year. Performing loan balances have increased by 600 million euros. Deposits were up by 3.8 billion in the same nine-month period, and the loan-to-deposit ratio declined to 74%. Regarding debt issuance, our second benchmark size senior preferred bond was completed in September in order to meet the interim MREL target. Moving now on asset quality on slide eight, let me highlight the massive improvement achieved with a decrease by 20 billion euros of NPEs since 2016. Following the MEPS securitization, the NPE ratio reached 7.3% and is expected to remain at current levels in the fourth quarter of this year. The coverage ratio was at 73%. Moving on slide nine, our total capital ratio stands at 16.7%, while the fully loaded CET1 increased by 20 basis points last quarter, reaching 12.3%. Now, beyond Q3 financial results, our two capital accretive transactions are in their final stages. The strategic partnership in the merchant acquiring business will be signed in the next few weeks and close in the first half of the year. The synthetic securitization of €2.1 billion performing corporate loans is on track to close before year-end. Outside Greece, the merger of Eurobank Serbia with Direktna Banka is also closing before year-end and will improve our footprint in the local market. So, in summary, as we approach year-end, it becomes evident that Eurobank is outperforming all its key targets for this year: profitability, capital, and NPE ratios. Given a positive macro backdrop in all our core markets, we aim to deliver on our next target, namely the double-digit return on equity as early as 2022. Furthermore, next year, after we announce the full year 2021 financial results and having submitted the 22 budget and our three-year business plan, we aim to initiate the supervisory dialogue on dividend policy. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Hans Kokologiannis, to present our 9 months results before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokio. Let me first comment on the accounting treatment of the Mexico securitization. In the third quarter, €3.2 billion Mexico loans have been reclassified as assets held for sale and will be deconsolidated in the fourth quarter upon the closing of the transaction with Dubai. At that time, the Mexico senior notes of €1.6 billion will be recognized as an asset on our balance sheet. In this presentation, for comparability purposes, Mexico senior notes have been included pro forma in the September end asset figures. In addition, third quarter results include the impact from the Mexico loss of €72 million. Let's now provide some more insight on the third quarter results. Starting on page 17, on lending evolution. Performing loans increased organically year to date by €600 million, of which €400 million in the third quarter, driven by Greek corporate and SE loans. During the last few months, loan demand has been accelerated, and considering the pipeline, we expect loan growth for the full year to reach approximately €1 billion. Moving on funding and liquidity on page 18. As shown at the right of the page, group deposits increased in the third quarter by €1.4 billion and year to date by €3.8 billion. Out of this increase, €2 billion are coming from Greece and €1.8 billion from SEE. Net loans to deposits ratio receded in the third quarter to 74%, and LCR ratio increased further to 168%, as shown at the left of the page. Moving to profitability on page 23, net interest income decreased quarter on quarter by 1.5% to €330 million due to the lower contribution from TLTRO and the cost of senior bond issuance, which offset the higher performing loans margin. On a year-on-year basis, NII is lower by 2%, in line with what we anticipated. On page 24, commission income continued its growth trajectory, showing an 18.4% year-on-year increase. Quarter-on-quarter, commissions increased by 6.1% at €117 million, mainly driven by network transactions and credit cards income, also boosted by tourism. On page 25, operating expenses are flat quarter on quarter and year on year, as higher IT and digital related expenses, including depreciation, are offset by lower staff cost. On page 27, we summarize the core operating performance for the first 9 months of the year. Core PPI is higher year on year by 4.1%, mainly driven by non-NPE related NII, higher commission income, a lower staff cost, which more than offset the lower income from NPEs by €97 million. Cost of risk amounted to 1.1% for the nine-month period, and loan loss provisions are lower year-on-year by 25%, reflecting the deleveraging of NPEs and the better asset quality trends. As a result, core operating profit is higher year-on-year by 61% at €357 million. Moving on to asset quality on page 29. As shown at the top left of the page, NPE formation in the third quarter was negative by €26 million, continuing the better than expected trend. NPE ratio post Mexico decreased to 7.3%, with the remaining NPEs at €2.9 billion. Coverage in the third quarter increased to 73%. Considering the write-offs planned for the fourth quarter, coverage is expected to be at the end of the year between 66 and 68%. Overall, we are very pleased to note that we are outperforming all our profitability targets for the year, as presented in the first investors call of 2021. More specifically, on core PPI, we expect to be higher than our initial estimate of €875 billion. Cost of risk is estimated for the full year lower by 20 basis points versus guidance at 1.1% of net loans. As a result, profit before tax is expected to be higher than €540 million compared with the initial guidance of €500 million. A similar outperformance is expected on capital, as shown on page 34. More specifically, accounting for the announced capital enhancement initiatives, which are at their final stage, the year-end outlook is for capital ratios higher by 50 basis points compared to the initial guidance. Therefore, we expect to close the year with a total CAD and a fully loaded CET1 above 16.5 and 13.3% respectively. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Thanks for the presentation, and well done on the results. I have a few questions. First of all, on asset quality. I remember that in the previous quarter, Mr. Caravias was expecting some inflows in the second half linked to the end of the moratoria and some support. I think we see now in Q3 some of it already materializing on slide 30. Just wondering now how you're feeling for the next quarter, given that you're also keeping your cost of risk stable in terms of guidance. So just wondering what kind of magnitude of inflows you can expect in the last quarter of the year. Then secondly, a question on margins and link to your slide 22. I was just wondering if you could give us an indication of margins on new business that you're giving out right now in terms of loans, so we could compare to the numbers on slide 22. And then finally, just a quick one on the other income, if you could give us a breakdown of the other components of the other income, that would be great. Thanks.
Jonas, thank you for your questions. Let me take the first one, and Harris will comment on margins and other income. You are right that in the last conference call, we have said that we were expecting for the second half of the year an NPE increase of about €600 million. It appears that this estimate was overly conservative. But let's take it from the beginning. Overall, what we have seen in the 9 months of this year is that NPE formation has been substantially lower than initially anticipated. Flows from moratoria have been low, and defaults less than 10%. So as a result, as Harris mentioned, and you can see on slide 29, the NPE formation in the third quarter was negative by €26 million. And as you can see on page 30, this performance was uniform along all segments of loans. Now, based on what we have seen so far about the fourth quarter, we expect formation to be positive around 100 million euros, so quite lower than what we said last quarter. Taking into account the expected loan growth and the write-offs that we are planning to do in the fourth quarter, the NPE ratio should remain broadly unchanged from the current level, so around 7.3, and the coverage to be below 7% in December of 2021. In terms of cost of risk, we keep the same guidance, which is 110 basis points for the full year 2021. Now, obviously, there are a number of factors that affect asset quality, either positively or negatively. Starting from the negative factors, I think you would agree with me that one of them may be the recent surge of the pandemic. However, the economy still remains 100% open, and I think any such effect would be muted unless we see a serious deterioration. Now, a more important factor may be the elevated energy prices that we observe both for households and for businesses, and this affects the disposable income. On the positive side, retail sales have recovered from 2020 levels, and they are at levels similar to 2019. For instance, in the third quarter of this year, retail sales were 12% higher than the respective quarter of 2019. Performance is quite strong. And there is also a positive wealth effect as residential real estate prices in Greece are up 7.9% year on year in the third quarter of this year based on Bank of Greece data that came up a few days ago. So this is where we stand with asset quality. Let me pass over to Harris about your next question.
As regards the third leg of your question, the other income, almost exclusively is coming from sales of investment securities, mainly GGBs, Greek government bonds. Now, as regards the spreads, we see a picture that it is quite stable in the last few quarters, in the sense that we see some gentle decline on the corporate spreads as the new loans are coming in with a bit lower spreads. Whereas on the retail, the spreads are broadly stable. This is a picture actually that we are going to face in the next year as well. But already the acceleration of a new demand actually offsets this gentle decrease that we see on the spread. So we should expect, we already see, but we should expect as of next year especially, that the impact of the new volume to offset any decrease of any negative impact from margins, especially in the corporate.
Got it. Thanks. Could you please just remind us what is expectation for 2022 in terms of disbursements and increasing the net loan book or performing loan book?
Sure. Let me provide you an overview of where do we stand on loan growth and the context in general before entering to the specific numbers. As we mentioned during the introduction, as Fokion mentioned, economic sentiment in Greece is becoming very strong. According to EU data is approaching a prior high that we had before the pandemic. Tourism had an above expectation seasons, manufacturing hit a multi-decade high, and construction in all fronts is back. So we see significant activity across all sectors that is also underlined by the high amounts of FDIs that we had year to date. Specifically, the FDIs exceeded for the 9 months of this year 10 billion euro. And the more important, actually, it extends to all sectors of the of the Greek economy. Now, going forward, the sectors of the economy that are expected to play a key, a leading role are, of course, those of tourism, shipping, energy, infrastructure, real estate, and industry, including manufacturing. And in this dimension, the RRF loans will act as an accelerator for the above. At the same time, demand from individuals is also accelerating. The strong real estate market supports the demand for mortgages, while in consumer lending, we see strong demand on auto loans and durable good loans. I also should not forget about the regional subsidiaries that show in the last quarters a very strong loan growth. So coming to the numbers, year to date, we have seen an organic net organic growth of performing loans at 600 million euro. Looking at the pipeline, this is expected to reach 1 billion euro by the end of the year. And going forward for the next year, we should expect an average annual growth at the area between 6 and 7%. I'm talking about Greece and SE.
Jonas had also a third question about other income.
Yeah, thanks very much.
The next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up on the previous question regarding performing loans and what you have mentioned on loan disbursements. The 37 billion we see, shall we expect that to move to 37.5 or something like that by the end of this year, just to get a benchmark for next year? And then the second question is, there have been some news in the media over the last couple of months touching upon potential negative deposit rates for commercial deposits or maintenance fees. Is there any color you can share on this topic with us? Thank you.
Starting from the second question, we're exploring all different options at the moment, but we have not taken any sort of decision yet.
Are you trying out anything yet, or you're just considering?
We're just considering.
Right.
Regarding your first question, if I got it rightly, at the end of the year, we expect to be performing loans a balance close to 37.3.4.
Okay, versus 37.0 of
Q3,
right? So about a 300-350 increase.
Close to 400 million.
Perfect. Thank you.
300-400 million.
Great.
The next question is from the line of Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening. I'll just have one technical question, first of all, please. Can you remind me how I should think about the TLTRO contributions in the coming quarters, given it's been a little volatile this year? So is the current run rate what we should assume for what will come in the coming quarters?
Sure. The background is that in the first half of the year, we had a gross impact of close to 60 million euro. In the third quarter, with 33 in the first and 28 in the second. In the third quarter, we had 19 million. And in the fourth quarter, we should expect something at the area of 12 million euro. Going this sum up to a total gross impact, this is quite important, of approximately 90 million euro. For next year, we should expect a similar amount or slightly higher.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you, Harris. And secondly, looking at your original 10% ROTE guidance for next year with these 15 cents of EPS, which levers are tracking ahead of your expectations so far? So are you able to provide any early guidance of what could go better next year than your initial expectation, which was presented late last year? And what could go worse, if any?
For next year, we should be able to provide you some more detailed guidance during the next presentation that we have, when we have the full year 2021 financial results. At the moment, we are finalizing the budget for next year. So let's wait a little bit more, and we will be able to provide you more detailed guidance. However, we stick on our commitment about this double-digit return on equity, this 10% return on equity for 2022. And this is something that it is going to be delivered based also on the first numbers that we have seen out of this budget. It is important that we're going to start 2022 from a solid base, given that this year we have outperformed, as Harris mentioned, in all the relevant KPIs, including pre-provision income, profit before tax, NP ratio, and capital ratio.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. And finally, if I may, on Bulgaria, how do you expect the competitive environment to shape up there with this ongoing consolidation that's happening? So obviously you do have a solid market share as the number four player, but the top three seems to be consolidating quite aggressively. And recently we've seen some M&A there as well. So in the next 2-3 years, do you see any risk of increasing pressure there? And we've also seen M&A at pretty good prices recently. So how do you see Bulgaria as the franchise to your overall group in the next coming years? Would you see any M&A or sale potentially or an acquisition, et cetera? So any broad views would be very helpful.
You are right that we have seen a very interesting transaction out of this jurisdiction at a quite high multiple of tangible book value. I think this is positive news for the market because consolidation is moving forward. And as you could appreciate, this is good news for all remaining participants. The pricing power of the remaining banks, in theory, should improve. Also, the multiple that was paid for the bank that was sold shows also that market participants do believe in the growth potential of this market. And this is a view that we share for quite some time now. And this is the reason why we have strengthened our presence in this market during the last several years. Just to give you a figure for us, if it was to apply the same multiple to our Bulgarian subsidiary, the value would be close to 1.5 billion euros, which is a very significant portion of our total current market cap. Now, from our side, as we have said, Bulgaria is one of our core markets. Therefore, we would like to grow our presence there, either organically or if there is any sort of opportunity through an acquisition. It is something that we are going to consider, again, at valuations that would make sense for us. But we see very good prospects in this market overall.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much and have a nice evening.
The next question is from the line of David Daniel with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead. Mr. David, can you hear us?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Oh, great. Sorry about that. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of quick ones. Could you just give us an update on the moratoria balance you have outstanding and potentially the balances in Step Up and the bridge scheme? And then secondly, just looking at your debt stack and where some of your bonds trade, would you ever consider refinancing the Tier 2 that you have outstanding, which is held by the government? Thanks.
Okay, the line was not so great. So the first question was about moratoria and the Step Up programs that we have active as we speak. In terms of the moratoria, effectively, the balance that have remained under moratoria is very small. The last exposures under moratoria had to do with the tourism sector, the hotel and leisure sector, that anyway is doing very well, as we mentioned already. And therefore, effectively, we have no outstanding balances in moratoria. Now, there is we have these two step-up programs, Gefira 1 and Gefira 2, the first for residential real estate mortgages, the second for SMEs, which are going to be active until the end of 2021. It is important to notice that these programs have been structured in a way that provides a strong incentive to borrowers to remain performing after the end of the programs. And I think it is fair for someone to ask how we would expect these loans under these two programs to perform in the beginning of 2022 when the state support will not be there anymore. So we are positive overall. One of the reasons why we are positive is the way that these programs have been structured. The state support declines over time, and if at some point the customer misses a payment, then he loses the full state support that he has received. So for any customer, it would be very important to remain performing. And a second issue...
Sorry, could I just ask on that? Could you just give us a feel for the size of the balance that you were just kind of talking about heading into 2020?
It is 2.4 billion euros into the two programs.
Thank you. And the second one was just on the Tier 2, whether you'd consider refinancing it, given where it's trading at the moment.
Sure. We have a Tier 2 outstanding of 950 million euro that was issued back in 2018 and fully subscribed by Hellenic Republic. We have a call option as of January 2023, and this is at a cost of 6.4%. And considering the recent market dynamics, there may be an opportunity for cost optimization. However, this is something that we are going to explore more going closer to that date.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi guys. A question on risk-weighted asset density. I was just wondering if you can give us a high-level comment on how your risk weights are changing now that you see there's a significant change in your balance sheet. any kind of indication on percentage points if I look at the stock reported numbers versus where you're seeing the risk weights right now or where you expect them to be? That would be good. Thanks a lot.
To be quite quick on my answer, the new production that we expect on loans going forward should lead, as regards the credit risk, to an increase of RWAs with a density between 55 and 60%.
Okay, so that's for the blend of the disbursements, which I think the vast majority should be on the corporate side, right?
Mr. Floriani, have you finished with your questions?
No, I just asked. So this is for the total new disbursements, meaning that the vast majority of it is corporate, because the retail carries a much lower number anyway.
Going forward, retail as well. We get a higher and higher contribution on that. Of course, up to now, corporate had the major impact, but in the planning horizon, retail will have a significant contribution. Having in mind the budget figures, the percentage that I provided to you actually concern the blended mix of the growth going forward.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manolopoulos Konstantinos with Optima Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello from my side as well. Thanks for your time and the presentation. I have a quick one on capital, please. So you are arguing that that you expect your capital ratios to increase by 100 bps by year end, and you have planned for the synthetic swap securitization along with the sale of your merchant acquiring business, which I think you said it's going to happen in 2022, in the first half. So the driver for the 100 bps enhancement is the, say, 20-something bps from your typical quarterly profitability, and the rest, 80 bps, is the synthetic swap. Is it something else? I mean, do I miss something?
Sure. Let me clarify the landscape on that. Total cut, let's get the total cut ratio of September end was at 15.7%. So the outlook for the year end is for the total cut higher than 16.5%. This includes the impact of both transactions. Synthetic securitization and the merchant acquiring disinvestment, for which our estimate is that their impact will be at least 100 basis points. However, we have some positives and some negatives. On the positive side is the impact of these two transactions. It's going to be the quarterly profitability, of course, but on the negative side, we have some negative markdown of Greek government bonds. We should expect some further increase of RWAs due to growth, and we are going to have a negative impact from the increase of expected loss shortfall due to write-offs that we are going to have at the end of the year. So the mix of all these conclude to the estimate that we provide.
As far as the synthetic swap is concerned, you are targeting something like 2.5 billion, right?
The loan perimeter, and it's about corporate and SMEs, is close to 2.2 billion euro.
And the saving of this perimeter in terms of RWA?
Given that we have not announced yet the other transaction, I'm talking about the merchant acquiring disinvestment, something that will be done in the first half of December. Let me repeat our estimate that for both from both transactions, i.e. synthetic securitizations and merchant acquiring, we expect an impact of at least 100 basis points positive.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. We conclude our conference call. Thank you very much for participating. Also, thank you for your questions, and we would be available. Either Harris or myself or our investor relations team for any follow-up questions or for any follow-up conference call.